Habt ihr schon mal einen Therapie-Podcast gehört? Wenn nicht, dann wird das jetzt auf jeden Fall die erste Folge für euch. Denn Energy Stars Norma Jean Martini und Tiffany Harris haben sich hier für eine Special Mental Health Podcast-Folge mit mir zusammengetan. Ich, Jale, durfte so ein bisschen in die Rolle der Therapeutin schlüpfen und diese wunderschöne Freundschaft zwischen den beiden kennenlernen und auch deren jeweiliges Innenleben. Ja, also die sind so ehrlich, nehmen kein Blatt vor den Mund. Ihr lernt sie also so richtig kennen und vielleicht im Idealfall auch euch selbst ein bisschen. Das ist wie so eine kleine Therapiesitzung to go. Viel, viel Spaß.
Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
We invited the two of you for a special reason. We're going to be focusing on mental health today.
Ooh.
And both of you, I know, are different artists, but then again, you have a few things that align, and definitely you have in common that you're, I think, pretty much aware of mental health, that you are checking in with yourself, that you are connecting through it. I remember wanting to start a podcast with Tiffany about it, but we talked a lot about mental health, and you always said, yeah, Norma, my best friend Norma, like, she would have such a nice perspective on this and that, and, like, always referring to you as,
oh.
I would say, sort of an anchor in her life, right?
You are.
She's an anchor in my life.
Yeah. That's maybe we can start with that, with your friendship that, you know, especially for you as someone who came from such a far away country, from such a, like, you literally crossed an ocean or two, I don't know how much water there is, in, to build a life here.
To
and
be
then,
here with me.
To be here with
Tiffany. And Minnie Mouse.
What is that like to have such a close friend in the industry and also in private life? I mean, it's all overlapping and there's, I feel like it's hard to draw the line, but how is it to be each other's anchors?
I think for me, it's like, yeah, like, Tiffany is definitely one of my senses of home here, one of the main ones. So, like, when I come to Berlin, I'm like, if when she's not here, it's a bit weird, actually, you know? And I think, yeah, like, when you, you know, I have, like, a kind of complicated situation back home. And home has always been a big question mark for me, because even before I lived here, I lived in London, and before that, I lived in Nashville. So I've always been a traveler since I was 18. I left New York very early. And so for me, home's always been a question mark. And really, like, home for me is, like, my people. And it's the same with family. My family for me is my soul family and the people that, like, have come into my life through the industry and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't left New York when I was 18, but I left Hamburg when I was 18. And I always wanted to leave. And I never felt like it was homey. And then I went to many different places and then I ended up in Berlin and it was very, like, cool because there were so many new people and, like, but then again, I didn't know where I belonged. And then, like, just having someone like Norma and someone that I can always trust and someone that I can always rely on and, like, and you're not here most of the, I am usually here and you're not here most of the time. Like, it's very difficult
it's
to
changing
get
now, though.
It's
you're
changing
always
now.
Going to play in a concert or something.
But, like, just having someone here that is, like, a constant is just, like, it's the best. And, you know, about soul family, it's kind of like, people always say, you don't choose your family, but actually you do. You do choose your family. And
100%.
Like, and I have very few friends. Like, my circle is very small. It's like my parents and like my family, my blood family, you know, blood related family, and then it's like Norma and like two other people that I really have close to my heart, and so yeah, it's just great to have someone like that.
You mentioned two very important aspects. I'll start with the more recent one, is that what I find is still very difficult to openly talk about, but you know, we have this saying in German that says blood is thicker than water. I don't know if you say the same.
Yeah, we say that in English, yeah.
And it's not. And it's I not. Feel like it's a conversation I've been having with my family for over a decade, where I'm saying, like, if they're not in my close family, I'm lucky with that, but like extended family, aunts and whatever, especially on the Turkish side, there's a lot of superficial closeness that it's not real. Where I always tell my brother, if you feel uncomfortable with this person, even though it's your uncle, you do not have to spend time with them. You are allowed to block them. Even, do you know this function on WhatsApp? You know, and I feel like it's still a very hard, especially in Germany. I don't know how, that's what I was curious about. We'll talk that. How is that in maybe London or the US? Is there a different, because I feel like, whereas I feel like Europe is pretty much developed and in some ways even further developed than the US, I feel like mental health and setting lines or borders, like boundaries, is more established in the US and more, I don't know, I feel like going to, that's my impression, going to therapy is more normalized and speaking about boundaries is more normalized than here sometimes, because I feel like when you drop that you very self-confidently drop that you decided to part ways with your family, your blood family, you're still perceived as weird, as if though someone, something's not okay with you. And yeah, that's so, speaking about it so openly, saying you are able to choose your family, you are able to say, I want these people to be my closest, even though they're not blood. How does that feel to publicly say that, and also not only publicly, but to admit that to yourself? Because I feel like the hardest part is to be open and honest with yourself. Because I feel like I am the person I lie to the most. I can tell other people's stuff, but when it really comes down to self dialogue or monologue, I tend to, you know, lie and put things away and not wanting to confront. How does that feel to not only openly but also privately to allow this reality, this what you chose to be your family, to be here, to be real, to not be something that has to be fixed?
I think for me it's a little, it's in the past longer than it is for you, because you've, I know that your family and or whatever, like you've been having trouble back home, and and for me it's like, it's way back, it's like years back that I had had to kind of like, because I parted ways with someone from my family, and like it was really difficult for me at first to be like, wait, but this person is like my family and they should be in my life. But more and more it's just a relief. It's just a relief being like, wow, I was strong enough to not take it anymore, and I was strong enough to like not have this negative energy in my life and like stand up for myself. And like, and I think that's just like, it's, it hurts a lot, and I obviously it still hurts, you know, it will always hurt, because there is this kind of thing that's like, well, you know, it would be nice to have that family around you, and nice to have this person, and it would be so nice if everything would just be perfect, but it isn't, and that is the reality, and it hurts. But also it's, once you realize that it was good, the choice you made, and that otherwise it would be bad for you, I think that's just a relief.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, after my dad died, basically, I parted ways with a lot of my family, because he was the glue that really held us together, and he died only a year ago. So that's been really tough. And but like what Tiffany said, with the more time that goes by, the more of a relief it feels like, because it feels like I have chosen myself. I did stick up for myself, and I'm putting an end to like a trauma and like a toxic cycle that's been going on in our family for a very long time. And, you know, like, for example, when my dad died, some people that should have been there weren't. But you know who was on the phone and FaceTime with me telling my dad it was okay to die? Tiffany. Yeah. You know?
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, but like, it's true. Like, other people should have been there and they weren't. Yeah. But Tiffany was there talking to my dad. One of the last people that my dad ever heard talk was Tiffany. And
okay,
they never,
I'm crying now.
They never met in real life. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's like, she was there for me in a way that like, people that really should have been there weren't. And people that he would have wanted to be there weren't, you know, and that's a thing, you know, it's, so yeah, it's more important the people that like appreciate you and love you for who you are, not like maybe who they perceive you as, or like who they see you as through like a lens of their trauma and what they symbolize to you or whatever it is, you know, so yeah, it's like we see each other for who we actually are.
Yeah,
that's what.
And
I
we're
was,
not
the
easy
good,
people.
The good, bad, and the ugly.
Exactly. Like, you know, we're, look at us. We're like two insane characters, you know. But I think it's in times like those where you really realize like where I'm like, you know, I would have never even thought about being like, oh, sorry, I can't call right now, or oh, this is too much for me. Like, of course it wasn't. I have my fair share of trauma with death and like losing people. Of course, like losing one of your parents, that's like the gravest grief that you can ever feel, you know, but like I was there, and you know, it gave me strength to give you strength, you know. It was like, it's mm-hmm. just and that's just friendship, and that's family.
Yeah,
that is real family.
I feel like it takes a lot of courage to actually show up, because there's yeah. showing up and then there's showing up.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I feel like I see a little bit of a shift in the way we lead friendships nowadays. I know that a lot of cancel culture and like me time, it's all important. I'm never going to be the person that pressures you into anything, but I feel like we've unlearned to actually be there for friends, because we've made it our hobby to prioritize ourselves, even at times where it's actually not good for us. As you yeah. just said, it gave you strength to yeah. be there for her.
Yeah.
And sometimes pushing yourself, telling, this is my friend from of over a decade, and even though I'm feeling low today, I'm gonna go to her fucking wedding or whatever. Like, people cancel. Ooh, that's, oh, whenever there's a male species.
Yeah. Frankie. Oh,
no. Meanie.
Meanie. We're having a studio dog encounter. Let's just put it that way.
Frankie, come here. Frankie,
maybe that's the most elegant way of
Minnie, come on here.
It's establishing a new topic. You both are dog moms.
Yeah.
How does that maybe?
That is the real family.
Yeah.
Like, how does that maybe
help and connect, especially because the dog is a perfect example for that. You cannot ditch the walk. Even yeah. though you're feeling low, you're like, oh, I feel like watching Friends or The Office on my couch. No, the dog is not, like, you have to walk the dog. So I feel like it's more than a tool, obviously, but it's a great tool to hold yourself accountable, to go outside, yeah. to step out of your comfort zone, obviously.
Yeah.
How do you feel like your dog helps you, carries you, brings you energy, inspires you, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know.
Like, it's insane, because I was 1 month without Meanie, because mm-hmm. I was in London, and like, it was all fine, it was all good. Like, you know, I missed her so much, but like, now having her back, like, just like, you know, every time when you go to your dog and you're like, I love you so much. Like, that gives me, and I read that when you say I love you, and like, you like send the love, like they receive it and they know that you love them. And it goes the same way when she's like, you know, doing her thing, and like when she's like being cute and like licking my face, and when she's like really cuddly. She's really cuddly right now. Like, she just needs to be close to me, because at my parents' house, they don't really like smooch her, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, so that really, I realized that. I really missed that. I really missed the love and the attention that one gives each other, like the dog to you and you to the dog. Like, it's insane, and it helps me so much. And like, and when I'm sad, like when I'm crying, Minnie will just like be waiting on the like edge of her little seat, like waiting to like jump at me and lick off my tears. Like,
no.
Yeah, like that's just, it's just, I know I'm not alone, even though I'm never alone, you know, one is never alone, but just like with Meanie, it's just like...
Oh, you can feel lonely in a crowded
exactly.
room
like,
easily.
It's just like the happiness yeah. and love that I receive, that I have, that I get, that I give is just, it's insane.
How's that for you?
I mean, Frankie was actually my dad's dog, so I adopted him after he passed away.
That's a big thing to do.
Yeah, and because he had to come here after my dad passed away... For the first like 3 months, Frankie had to stay in America so that he could get his shots and everything, so mm-hmm. he could travel. But in those first 3 months, I was a basket case. I mean, I woke up every day like back in the nightmare of my dad's dead, and just like, it was so hard for me, and I was really, really struggling. But as soon as I got Frankie back, it was so crazy. Like, I keep telling people, it feels like he was like a salve on an unhealable wound, you know? Oh. Like, he just like... And I think it's because he's so funny and he's so cute, and he's just like, he makes me laugh and smile and feel like this love feeling. So I think it's like, you know, what is it? Is it oxytocin?
Oxytocin is the hormone we release.
I feel like I just have these hormones going off because Frankie is just... Frankie, shut up.
Frankie, weenie.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, I just feel like he makes me so happy. He makes me laugh. And, like, I love him so much that, like, he's just brought my, like, baseline of happy up.
For sure.
At the time
that's
when I needed it the
most. Beautiful thing to say. Yeah, the baseline of happy.
Yeah.
I have this big mental health influencer podcaster that I follow, and she always says, you're only happy when you're happy on a random Tuesday. It's not measured by the moments you're on stage. You have big appointments. You are, obviously, when your whole body is under, it, like, releasing adrenaline when you're partying or, like, you performing or going to the studio or having success moments, that's not the true representation of your mental state
at
all.
Wow, that's insane.
And I always tell myself this, like, every Tuesday, I check in with myself, like, how am I doing on this Tuesday? Mm. Because why am I asking that to myself on a Saturday when I'm under, like, you know, other
unnealing influences? Yeah.
But for those of you who can only hear and not see Frankie's, it's a whole character, like out of a movie. Like, I feel like, you know, when with some dogs, you can see almost human traits of curiosity with this one. And I feel like, I mean, dogs can be a very energetic and spiritual thing to have. Do you feel like... I don't know if you're spiritual. I know you're a little spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you feel like that the dog elevated your spirituality? Have you always been spiritual? What, or are you like, oh, I'm actually not that spiritual, but this dog is making me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I'm a vegan. So and a big reason for that is because I really believe that animals are sentient beings. I don't believe that we should be eating them.
And agreed. I haven't eaten them.
Yeah.
In a decade.
And I also, I think, you know, when I look in my dog's eyes, I'm like, he's a little spirit. Like, I just see every human, every animal, every body is just like a vehicle for life force.
That's nicely said.
You know, and so, like, yeah, I people are like, oh, no dogs allowed. I'm like, he's literally a baby. I'm like, he's not.
Same with my dog. I'm like, how can you not allow this dog in here right now? Like, she's literally tied. You don't even see her. You won't even, like, know that she's there.
Oh,
like,
places that don't allow dogs should be banned.
I know.
We shouldn't allow places like that.
Especially, like, little baby dogs. I'm like, he doesn't even shed.
Yeah.
I mean, now there's a lot of people and other dogs, but he's so calm. Like, in the beginning, he was so calm. So, yeah.
And excited to see everyone. Yeah. Like, our dogs are very like, hey, people.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Do you feel like your dogs have built a similar friendship to yours?
They're
starting?
No, because Minnie is very like, everyone is mine. I belong here. This is my, like, everywhere I go, it's my place. Mm-hmm. And Frankie's like, hey, we could be friends. And Minnie's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
but then they will, like, sit on top of each other. Remember when we did Pups and Cups?
Yeah.
And then Minnie just, like, sat on top of Frankie, on Norma. So it's kind of like, Minnie's like, she needs a little bit to, like, get warm. Same with one of my friend's dogs. Like, she would, like, always, like, sit on the lap and, like, push him down and everything. But then later, like, a few days later, they would, like, lie in the bed together. And so she, like, she needs a little bit, but she is the queen. Like, she... And that's not me saying that. That's, like, her words. She is.
And Frankie's chill.
Frankie's just chill.
Okay. She's playing hard to get.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get her one day.
Yeah, I'll just, you know,
let's keep trying.
I'll just hang out over here.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, a lot going on, definitely. It's like a little show, probably, to watch. Mm-hmm. Your dogs are playing a huge role, but also music. I was going to do, like, a little bit of a recap. Okay, you've just dropped the very heavy, groundbreaking change happened through your dad's death and through stepping up for yourself, but your journey has been longer than that. And what would you say within the past 5 years, music, friendships, traveling, re-identifying yourself, has helped you connect to your mental state the most? Because I feel like we all have a mental health state, yeah, but not all of us are aware of it or connected to it. Yeah. And I feel like, especially in the music industry, we're going to come to that one as well. It's so hard to actually stay in touch. Everyone's in touch for the show. Of course, songs are, yeah, you know, being a creative is a great way to perform feelings and perform being in touch with yourself, but doesn't actually mean that you are.
So, okay.
How to broaden, like, let's say within the past 5 years, what would you say were little things or big things that helped you connect to yourself? And how is your state of connection? Can be, sometimes it's off as well. It's okay to not be that connected to me right now, for example. I'm not that connected to how I feel at the moment, and I'm aware of it, and I'll be working on it. Mm-hmm. But I'm, right now, I just can't. Yeah. And that's also okay, I feel like. You don't always have to be 100% in touch, because sometimes that also keeps you from managing your life.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Where do you want to start?
I mean, I can relate to what you're saying about sometimes you can't. Like, with the death of my dad, I definitely had moments of, like, feeling like I had to kind of avoid that. I went into a big state of distraction for maybe the first 6 months. But that being said, I've had some moments in the last year that have been really healing. Like, I took a trip to South Africa for, like, a yoga retreat. And I also lost my grandmother, who was South African. She died a year ago as well. And going to South Africa and doing this retreat, like, I gave myself the permission to go and do something for myself, because I love traveling. I love seeing the world, which is, like, you know, how I'm an American that ended up out here, you know. And going and doing that and doing a safari and, like, seeing all these animals in the wilderness and, like, all of this stuff, but then also, like, connecting with, like, a new culture and also my family there that I had never met before but I always knew about, was such a healing experience for me. And also just, like, yoga forces you to stop and be in your body, and then you start stretching, and then you're like, oh my god, all my sadness is in my hips. I'm just a basket case now. I guess it's all been there, and now I've released it. And, you know, and it's like, I mean, the entire yoga retreat, I cried the entire time, you know.
It's completely normal, and it's true. I'm a yoga teacher. You're always welcome to come to my classes, by the way. I can just confirm that when I have an off day, sometimes I only notice that when I step on the mat. Like, I notice, oh, my hamstrings are so tight today, or my hips. And that's my body telling me, like, girl, there's been things going on that you've been ignoring.
That's
so nice. How is that for you to... I mean, losing, it's heavy, but losing people can sometimes make you feel even more alone, or like you're now on your own to conquer this world. It can also elevate your strength and resilience, obviously. But how is that for you to choose a way of, instead of surrounding yourself with safety, with people you know, surrounding yourself with a place that you're not 100% familiar with? That's what you chose to do. Mm. How did that feel? How did that work out for you?
I mean,
or was that important that you do exactly that?
Are you saying, like, when I went to South Africa on that trip? I mean, I think for me, it's really important that I go and experience new places. Like, and I love variety in life, and I love different cultures, and I just love to learn, and also to understand the world in a deeper way. And I feel like you can do that when you travel. I always say traveling is, like, the best education you could get. And I think, for me, at that time in my life, I was a little nervous to go to South Africa by myself. I went to Johannesburg. It's one of, like, the most dangerous cities in the world by myself. And that was, like, a little bit scary, you know? And even when I was there, I was like, I can't believe I did this. But it's like you said that, like, especially when you lose a parent, especially your, like, for me as a woman, losing my dad, who was, like, my protector and, like, the person that I looked to for financial advice and, like, all of these things that, like, are, like, kind of associated with men and the things that, like, I'm like, you know, these are the things he's going to help me with. He's not here to help me with it anymore. And I have to step into the power of those things myself, you know? And I feel like that it's also, like, I'm realizing I am my own protector. I can sort out my finances myself. I just bought a house. And I was like, I always wanted my dad to help me buy a house. And I didn't do it for so long because I was like, but he's going to help me. And now that he's gone, I was like, I'm going to do it myself. And I was terrified, you know, because it was the most money I ever spent on anything, more expensive than all our fancy clothes and jewelry. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh my God, I did this thing. And
congratulations.
You know, thank you. But, you know, you just feel really strong. And I think that, like one big realization I had, and then I'll stop talking about this, but one big
you're free to talk however long you want to talk about it.
But one big realization that I had recently, because I was like, you know, I do feel like that grief, especially losing a parent, I've like every cell in my body has changed. I feel like a completely different person. Like it was like a death of me as well. And a lot of who I used to be in relation to my dad. And now I'm like this whole new person. And I feel like, I don't know, where was I going with that? Sorry, I lost my train of
thought. No, you said that you realized something, like you'd completely changed every cell of your body changed.
Because I used to always be like wanting to not be alone. I used to always be looking for outside validation and like all of this stuff. And I had this anxiety about being alone and being abandoned. And I mean, like Tiffany was there for me through my last breakup and it was so horrendous. And I think a lot, and I already knew during that it was related to my dad, but I didn't really deeply understand it until now. And I think that the reason I clung on to like maybe bad boyfriends or like people to not leave me was because I think ultimately I was terrified of my dad leaving. And I always knew he would because he was an old dad. He was 50 when I was born. So he just, you know, I'm 35 and he was 83 when he died, you know. And so I always had this anxiety of being abandoned. And now that I've now lived my biggest fear. I mean, I feared it my entire life. And now that I've lived through that, I'm like, wow, that was really tough. That almost like killed me. But like, I'm still here and I feel like I'm like thriving now, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like he channels through me too, like his spirit and like, you know, the spirit of like who he was and how he lived his life. And that he's helping me that way now, you know? And I just feel very strong and I feel like unshakable kind of, you know, mm-hmm. in a new way.
That's so enlightening for me to hear because I have an old dad too. He was also 50 when I was born.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know he's 78. Yeah, old dad club. That's I love
club.
Him to death, but I also, and I've always said, I don't have daddy issues. My daddy loves me, blah, blah, blah. Of course I do. I relate every single thing back to my dad. Mm. Every of my past relationships, I wasn't aware of it, but I was searching for someone similar to my dad. Because of course, as you know, when you have an older dad, the energy drops. At some point they get slower. Mm. They're not as engaged anymore as they used to be. And then you're like, do you even care? And then what's it's teaching me is that I have to care. I have to freaking care what I do. Mm. I have to care what I'm like. And that's what you, I mean, to a very, more extreme way, because you actually died, you experienced this. Like you said, you're your own protector. And he was there to help you see that, mm-hmm. that of course he always gave you the sense of I'm your protector, I'm there. But no, you are your own. And I feel like that's one of the attributes I also admire, because my dad came from another country and built his life here. And I always kind of look up to him being like, I want to be able to do this all and stuff. But I cannot do this as long as I keep this bond, this attachment, this internal need of him doing things for me. No, I'm doing them for myself. And I can tell him later, as long as he's alive, I'm glad. I'm like, alhamdulillah. But like, I cannot expect him or any other man to do it. I have to do it myself. And that's so nice to hear that from you, from someone who's experienced it to a fuller and really lived it. And I always say, like, the death that doesn't kill you is rebirth. And it's like a rebirth.
Ooh,
that's a song right there.
That is giving
that's
me
a song
chills,
right
wow.
there.
That's
inspiration
my
for the next. yeah. But then I'm sure you've also experienced deaths that didn't kill you,
and
that
yeah,
rebirthed
Tom.
You.
And
so what was it for you the past 5 years?
Yeah, like the past 5 years, it was, and it actually happened 5 years ago. I lost the love of my life. And his death saved me, like literally it saved me. And I think,
wow, that's so deep.
It's so yeah it's as sad and as horrible as that is, like him dying saved my life and made me want to live and made me want to survive and made me want to fight to live. And and so it's been loss, it's been the grief of that made me grow, and the growth and like therapy and like yeah, rebirthing myself and being like, I want to live, I want to be better. And like, I've chosen a different path for myself now. And I've chosen to always be better every day and like not, how do I say this? Not succumb to wanting to die. Mm-hmm. And just like, Yeah, and it's difficult. It is difficult. Like always trying to be better and like, you know, getting rid of habits that I see other people still have and they're also alive. And I'm like, why do I have to... And I recently wrote a song about it. I was like, why do I have to always be strong? Like the weight of being strong is so heavy. And yeah. I like, but I think that is what makes me stronger. And like always fighting against the thoughts and fighting against the darkness is just what changed my life the last 5 years. And like, and I always say like wanting to, like you have to want to live and you have to want to change and you have to want to be better.
And you have to make that choice every single day.
Yeah, if you make it over and over again. Yes. And you know, there are moments where you can let go and whatever, be free and whatever, but it's kind of like I had to change my habits so bad. Like I even went way too far where I was like, I don't know how to let go anymore. Yeah. And so like it's learning, it's unlearning, then learning again, then unlearning. Yes. It's a constant.
Unlearning is just as important as learning. I feel sometimes focus so much on learning new things and evolving that we don't realize that we are holding on to other things that we should be getting rid of. Like you said, your habits, that we all have dirty habits. We all have habits that we're not proud of, that sometimes we don't want to admit to ourselves that we still have them. And I feel like comparison it's the death, because why ever another person does what the other person does has no effect on me.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same effect on them as it has on me. Period. Like I don't have to, like I'm not looking elsewhere. With both of you, I find it very strong that you're jiggling all that, that you're realizing all that, that you're even able to express all that while simultaneously being in such a performative industry, because it's not only performative, obviously, and it's great. And you yourself, when you're in the studio and you're singing, that's art. That's you expressing your inner thing. But the whole other thing that's attached to it, the marketing, the promotion, the following, the fans, the response, the image people draw of you who never even met you, you know, when they read their name, when your name, when they hear your songs, how do you do it? How do you manage it? What's helping you? Maybe your friendship as well. I know that's because you can, it's great to have someone who actually understands what you're talking about, because you're both releasing music and you're both we play it, both they're amazing, but still you both live this pressure of having to level up, of having to perform. It's an immense pressure to take.
Yeah. I think some days I don't even know how I'm doing it. Like I'm like in the middle of it. I'm just like in the middle of it, like kind of like riding the wave, you know, as long as I can. And but like having Norma and like having someone, like when I met Norma, she was like my idol. Like I listened to Head and Shoulders. It's called Head and Shoulders. I listened to that song almost daily. I was like, fuck, I want to sing like that. And then I was in a session with her. I didn't even know who she was. And like looking up to her and having someone like, and so inspiring, not only in music, but like now that I know that we know each other so well, like also as a person and like her strength, like that definitely helps me through. And like being able to, you know, we make content together and like
for the dogs,
we try to like, yeah, and we're like, we're very similar. Like we have big voices. We, you know, we have experienced traumas. We are women in music.
Did you ever see this coming, either of you, that you would be this close and this intertwined?
I don't really know if, like, I think we realized very quickly that we write together well and that like writing together, because we had the session the first day and immediately the second day. And then a week later, we also did another session. And so I think we realized that there was some kind of connection.
It helps that we have a similar voice.
Exactly. Yeah. Because then we could push each other. We're like, we didn't know what we could do with our voices. I remember when we did that Bad Religion song and it was like, girl, you can hit it, like it was so, it's just so cool. And like
she
and
pushed you to do Breathe, right? You didn't want
to Norma pushed me to do Breathe
and there's a note in there you didn't want to sing either.
I was like, I don't want to. And like, I didn't want to hit that. I was like, guys,
you can do it,
unnecessary, let's just not do it. And like she pushes me so much, and just like having a person like that really helps me through. And then a lot of therapy. Yeah, a lot of therapy. And I think what I'm realizing now is, because I'm kind of like distancing myself from like society a little bit, and that really helps me like focus and like concentrate on what lies ahead. And like, I have so many gigs right now, like I just want to like take care of my voice and like gather all the energy I can. Like I was, and I played this big gig in Hanover in front of 15,000 people, and that was crazy because I was like, wow, I'm so happy, and like all the dopamine was like accumulating, and then it left my body and I was so depressed like till now. Like, and so it's really difficult to kind of like, that is difficult, and I need to gather all my energy again for the next gig mm-hmm. in order to feel that happiness again. And like and just like generally, like also not only happiness for the good moments, but also happiness for like everyday life. Like, it's really difficult for me right now, and I don't feel like I'm easy to be around right now. I feel like I'm very like with myself, and
that's nice that you can say that.
Yeah, and I'm feel sorry like, for everyone who
no,
has
you
to feel that.
But honestly, I feel like society is a construct that we built that we don't have to accept every day.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, the human species is a social being. We know loneliness is dangerous, and we cannot be on our own. Blah blah blah. But I feel like this
sometimes is needed.
The institutionalized society that we experience that is, I hate to say it, but closely attached to patriarchy and capitalism, it is this way. We don't have to, everything is attached to it. We don't have to accept it or let it into our lives every day. We can actively choose to distance ourselves. And I feel like it's so strong that you can say that mm-hmm. and that you can do this for yourself, because I know a lot of people who can't.
And I know it's what I need, you know? I know it's what I need. And like, and as much as it hurts me, like, I haven't let anybody know that I'm in town, like, I haven't talked to Jenny yet.
Safe space, and if in this moment it helps you, then it's the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we cannot do things based on what outcome it has in 5 years. We can only do things based on the outcome it has right now.
And one last thing is, I know that without having to explain myself, I know the people that love me, like Norma and my like two other best friends, they'll know even without me saying it. And when I am ready to step back into that, they will be there.
Yes.
And I think me being able right now to trust that is so beautiful. And that really helps me being like, and constantly I'm like, oh, fuck, should I write someone? Should I like let them know? Like, for example, Jenny, like that I'm in town, but I'm not really. And my other friend where I actually had to say like, yeah, I don't really feel like, and I don't have to explain. I don't have to explain. Mm. I know they know, and they can read my thoughts. And when I'm ready to like be back in society, like, they'll be there for me, and they'll be like, hey, so good to have you back.
I wish people could see the confirmation in Norma's eyes. She's like, yeah,
I know, girl.
Let's talk about it. Pressure of replying, yay or nay, right? It's like, do you sometimes catch yourself applying that to yourself, or have you established a kind of free, because I feel like fast replying and constant availability are two things that have been, I don't know, for some reason established, and I feel like why?
But I think that also connects to our artistry and being like on social media the whole time.
Yeah.
Having, but it's to, like, a different thing to
comment, reply.
Yeah. Release content to strangers can sometimes be less overwhelming than replying to a close friend. It is like this.
Yeah.
Because one takes more mental capacity than the other.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have that many friends, close friends, so I don't have that problem. But like Jenny and me recently, like we've been like replying a week later, and that's totally fine. Like, we're like, oh, sorry, you didn't reply. But what does happen to me mostly is like people that are not in my inner circle, I will like forget to reply. Mm. Like, I will forget to reply and then be like, oh, fuck, sorry, I only replied in my head. Like, I already thought about what I was going to say. Like, I'll do it in a second. And then I just do something else.
And the ADD takes over. And then the ADD takes over. And then,
did you see that video that I posted where, like, the girl was, like, wanted to cut the onion, and then she was like, oh, I need a knife. And then she took the onion, and she needed the knife. And then she was like, wait, where's the onion? Did you not see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Hilarious. Yeah, like, then
that's something I would do.
Yeah, like, ADHD takes over, and, like, I lose my keys or whatever. And then I'd forget to reply.
I mean, half of me not replying is because, like, I will look at all... I'll wake up and I'll have, like, 100 messages and I'll look at them all, like, all right, I'll respond to that later. Okay, whatever.
But, like, read it and, like...
Sure, that's easy to respond to right now. Or, like, I have to respond to that because that's today. You know what I mean? But then, like, 10 of those messages will go into, like, I forgot to even respond. And then, you know, and it's exhausting. And then, like you said, on top of it, we have to...
And then I don't find the chat anymore. Oh, that's the worst. But you know what I've been doing? I've been, like, you know, you can, like, swipe and, like, make, like, mark as unread.
Oh, I
do that now. Yeah, we gotta start doing that.
Unread.
Mark as unread, and I think it just
it's a game changer.
It is a game changer because then it, like, still the green thing will come up still, and then you'll be like, oh, this is the chat that I haven't replied to.
I need to do that.
But also, I have, like, close to 100 unread chats.
Oh God,
it's embarrassing. And the one that those are the ones that I didn't open.
But you are, you know, there's so much you have to do all day. You're around, yeah. Like. I don't feel like we have to justify ourselves. We should distance. Like, just because someone doesn't reply does not mean they don't like you. It's not to take. Okay, sometimes it does. But don't take it personally in most of the cases.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than, okay, there's social media pressure. There is growing. There is, you know, being an artist, being a person of the public. What is something privately that you're looking forward to this summer just for yourself?
Me and my boyfriend are going to go on a little road trip to Denmark.
Aww,
so and Frankie. Yeah, so I think
that... Put me in your suitcase.
Yeah, you can come too. Yeah, I mean, so I'm excited for that. Obviously, because we travel so much. I mean, I flew in 2 days ago, and he just flew last night to Spain, because he's also a musician. So he's making a music video in Spain, and then he's coming back tomorrow. You know, so it's like... But we hadn't seen each other for a month, so I'm really excited for, like, some, like... 10 days of just like us and the dog and the beach and like a little bit of Copenhagen, and you know, I think it's gonna be really nice.
That sounds so
cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Any festivals? I know you're playing a lot. You're
I'm
touring.
Playing a lot, but I was just gonna say, like, I'm so excited about the festival, but that's not like privately. Yeah. Like, obviously, I'm also privately happy about it. I'm not a festival goer. Are you a festival goer?
You know, when you've been in the music industry this long, I don't buy tickets for anything.
I remember the last festival you went to, and it started a whole shit show.
Which one? we're not going to talk about that.
Crowded places, camping
not really.
Is not for everyone.
Nah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. We have a little bit of time, well, like not time pressure, but I wanted to kind of close this as for those who are listening, what would you like them to feel when they listen to your music? One question I always like to ask, which I love. And then also, what would you tell them as someone... I mean, I feel like mental health and being connected to yourself is an ongoing process. You can never say, oh, I've made it. I'm here. No, like, it's, you know, one day at a time kind of thing. You've never arrived. But still, maybe something that you'd like to share and offer to people, three little things that help you unwind, because it can get stressful. It can get overwhelming. Maybe you could, like, each of you, first of all, tell me what you would like your listeners to feel, because whenever Encore is actually coming up in 10 minutes here, whenever I hear your music, I feel like powerful, because I feel like you have this way of being vulnerable, but in a powerful way. Like, it's not self-loathing, but it's empowering, but you can still hear your openness and, like, you're not afraid. I feel like there's this fearlessness in your songs, which what I hear, especially in Encore.
Yeah, that's really cool, because my answer was going to be, I hope that people feel empowered and like they can do anything. I recently had to do like a branding exercise where I listened to all my music and I just like closed my eyes and I just wrote down every word or color or image that came to me. And with all my demos, it was just power, power, power. And so that's like how the Encore artwork is with the crown. And that was part of why I did that, because I was like, I want to show this kind of like queen, powerful, energy. So that's really cool that you got that, because that's also what my own music gives to me. And also, I think it's what I've always needed, because I think my dad used to always say to me, you're a star, you're the only one who doesn't know it, because I didn't feel confident or empowered in myself for so long. And some of that had to do with the family stuff or like feeling never good enough and things like that. And so I think for me, it's that. I just want people to feel empowered, like they can do anything, like they are good enough, like they're worth it. Like, you know what I mean? And like, if you have a dream, especially, like, go for it. You know what I mean? Because that's been like the mantra of my life, has been chasing this dream. You know, and ultimately, by healing myself, by making these songs, I'm hoping that they're also healing to other people, which I think Tiffany also is doing.
Amazing. Yeah, I think for me, it's like, you're not alone. You're not alone. I am here. Like, listen to what I'm saying, because I have the same. Like, literally, I promise you're not alone. And it might never pass, but it doesn't matter, because you're not the person, only person that feels that. And it's like, and it's okay. And like, we can be in it together. You know what I mean?
You're a supporter. That's what you're also, yeah.
I want to support. It's same, like, it's, our music is very similar in that way. Like, we just want to support and make the people feel empowered. And I also want everyone to know, like, you're not a burden either. Like, you're not a burden, not to me, not to your family, not to, you know, like, not to your friends, not the people that love you. You'll never be a burden. And, like, I want them to be able to show themselves, you know what I mean?
To not be afraid to take up space. That's so important.
Yeah.
And especially as women, it's so important.
Just, like, feel empowered to, like, fight your demons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And choose to live every day.
Every day. That's so nice. Yeah. Maybe to close this, what are three little things that help you when, like, you have a stressful day, or... Maybe not even, sometimes the days are not stressful, but the inner self-talk is stressful or overwhelming. It can be, like, sometimes I feel the most stressed when I'm on the couch. It makes no sense, but it is. Because then my feelings arise.
For me, it's sometimes staying at home. Sometimes it's going out. But most definitely, like, going out and, like, into people, or just, like, sit on a bench somewhere in the sun. But most definitely what always helps is just dog cuddles. Find a dog, cuddle it, and you'll be better.
All better.
Yeah. Therapy, guys, therapy.
Yeah. I think for me, nature's really important. Movement's really important. Like, a lot of times when I'm feeling, like, really anxious, if I just, like, go for a walk, which the dog helps with that, you know, going out into the nature with the movement and the dog, I mean, that's, like, a really good recipe for feeling better. Right? Yeah, Frankie agrees. And I think also, like, you know, if it's, like, nighttime and I'm just, like, winding down and, like, trying to calm my nervous system, like, I love to, like, do some stretching or, like, drink some herbal teas, or, like, the lighting is really important, like, light some candles. Like, I don't like big, bright overhead lights and stuff. Like, those really stress me out. So, you know, it's those types of things. And also just, like, making sure I'm around good people if I am around people, you know, and, like, leaving situations when I'm feeling like, nah, I don't need to be here anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
So, yeah, I think those are my main things.
That's beautiful, especially the light thing. Sometimes I'm like, are you really too lazy to light a candle for yourself, girl? Like, do you love yourself? Light a candle.
Yeah. Bathtub. It's self-care. Bath is good. Spa.
Oh.
Oh, we love the spa here. Vibali.
Massages.
Vibali is
okay, guys. You might walk into
You might find me at Vibali.
I love Vibali
too. Definitely
You're
not
gonna find Tiffany, but you might find me.
There was a time I had a Vibali addiction, like in 2022-23.
Me too. We've probably been there together.
Like, probably. Honestly, I was there so much and I saw a lot of people, but I didn't feel uncomfortable because I was like, you know what? Whatever. It's dark in there, you have a towel. And the massages are 12 out of 10, I would recommend.
12 out of 10.
Tiffany is shaking her head. It's
good. Hilarious. She's not going.
Don't have to be. That's what I mean. Relaxation can look so different to every one of us.
Yeah,
for sure.
And healing as well. Maybe that's our ending point to say, whatever helps others doesn't have to help you. It's nice to find inspiration. You can try it out. You are allowed to not proceed with that.
Absolutely.
Well, then the next appointment hopefully is your feature, because when is it coming out? When do you release a feature?
Just do it.
I feel like you need a whole album, the two of you.
True.
Oh,
agreed.
We can make a new band.
What are we gonna call?
I don't know. We gotta think about that one. We're not gonna say anything.
We're not gonna give it away now.
Yeah.
Normaris. I don't know.
That sounds like a constellation. I kind of like it. The Normaris star.
Normaris stars.
Not against it.
Yeah.
Okay, brain work on that one and then come back with an album. No, I'm kidding. No pressure.
To be continued.
No pressure.
Girl power ballad.
Yes.
Der NRG Star Talk. Einer von vielen NRG Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf nrg.de. Das NRG. Energy Stream Team. Immer die besten Hits für euren Geschmack. Checkt die Energy Webstreams. Zum Beispiel Energy Disney Hits. Egal wo ihr seid, egal was ihr macht, das ist der richtige Soundtrack für euren Alltag. Checkt Energy Disney Hits und alle weiteren Streams in der App und auf energy.de. Denn hört ihr Streams, hört ihr Energy. Hit Music only.